This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't think you could consider anybody, you know, just they're going to sail without any kind of real process. She's going to have to go through a process like everybody else. But I can tell you, this is a massive upgrade. I've talked to a couple people up on the Hill already. There's a sigh of relief that now we have somebody here, two-term AG, strong record on drug enforcement and opioid issues, a total hawk on immigration, politically supportive of Trump, obviously. I don't know a Republican in the country who doesn't love Pam Bondi.
Scott Jennings, CNN, talking about the news that developed yesterday. We knew during our show 24 hours ago that Matt Gaetz, he said, you know what? I've become a distraction. I'm sorry. Let me take my name out of the running, which everybody could see coming.
It's common. It's common. For,
keep talking. Turn your microphone on.
It's common for Matt Gaetz to find that if he's the center of attention, he's like, look, this is not the point.
I feel uncomfortable.
Need to move past this, nation.
Becoming a distraction out here. Wanted to be the AG, but I wanted to do it on the down low.
Yeah. Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
In a recess appointment. So, Pam Bondi, the former attorney general, first female attorney general of the state of Florida. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but everybody keeps saying it, so I guess I'll say it too.
Mm-hmm.
That's how most people do it.
First female attorney general of Florida.
Now, Brad?
Yeah, she's the first female attorney general of Florida.
I mean, it's worth saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Happy Friday.
It's like the best they could do with the time. I remember my husband said to me, he goes, I don't remember there being a big deal every time somebody was nominated. You didn't say that to me, because I know my husband and I talked about it, but did we talk about this on
this
the air?
This wasn't me.
Okay. Because he's like, I don't really remember like people being nominated one after the other, like it being a big deal. And I'm like, it was a huge deal because everybody was the first female to do this, the first lesbian to do that, the first transgender to do the whatever, the first Asian. Like, that's the only thing they said about people.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, that might have been the only qualification.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Look, but he's only got one ear.
Yeah. And I can see why back in 2020, you know, I might have been pulling away from the news cycle a little bit, but there was nothing other than, okay, we've gone completely and totally all in on the DEI thing here. And this is after Joe Biden said he would pick a woman of color. And then he did. He got Kamala Harris, who had called him racist like yesterday on stage. I'll take it. I mean, that was really good due diligence on his own. Like in his observance of his own racism to put your accuser on the ticket with you.
Yeah. So J.D. Vance gets a pass.
Outreach.
Because he didn't like Trump at first
either.
Yeah,
he said he was Hitler.
And so, hey, well, the current vice president also
mending the bonds. So Pam Bondi was an attorney general and a very successful one. Hawkish, as we just heard Scott Jennings say there, on immigration, on crime, all the things that you want to see. She also is very loyal to Donald Trump, which is a very frightening thing to say to people who don't like Donald Trump. But that's just the way this is going to go. But the real loser today, and I don't mean that in the pejorative sense, but the person who is continuing to not come out of this.
Florida is one of those states that's been very aggressive about migrants and deportation and moving people to different states and everything else like that. Florida has enacted all sorts of rules and laws to curtail students and what they can do on campuses and finding legal justifications for manipulating education money. She is a dangerous and effective pick, and that's frankly worse than what we would have got with Matt Gaetz, even with the deplorable moral background that he has.
Everybody keeps saying she's just like Matt Gaetz, but competent.
That's pretty much it.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, like, verbatim.
Yeah.
You could go pull quote after quote where they're like, yeah, but she's competent. And I'm like, guys, harsh.
Yeah, I know.
Excuse me, Nate Foy's on the TV.
No, don't worry about that. Just got a little pepper on the temples, no big deal.
Yeah. That gray, as you age, just makes you look a little wealthier, a little more successful.
Is that what you're going for?
Just walking around Wall Street, probably, because he's got a little gray in his beard.
Wall Street or Walls Street?
Wall Street.
Okay. Go back and listen to hear you say Walls Street. I thought you were like saying something.
No, not at all. No. Okay. All I'm saying is, with all of these picks that are happening, there's two reasons why I think they are so much more in the news this time around than really any other presidency. One is a lot of these names we already know. That's not common. Most of the time they pick people and you go, who's that? I don't know. You just kind of move on. But we know so many of these. The second is, most of the time when they pick these things, they're trying to decide which way the deep state is going to lean. But they're leaving the deep state in place. And it's going to lean right if it's George W. Bush. It's going to lean left if it's Obama or somebody else. With these, they're attempting to basically dismantle it. So it's a lot bigger deal when every one of these picks is made.
Another one of the picks that has, I don't know, does Pete Hegseth go to the top of the pile?
Yeah, he does. He's the one with the target on his back now.
Not RFK Jr., not Tulsi Gabbard?
I don't think so. I think it's Pete Hegseth.
Yeah. I would say it's Hegseth, Gabbard, RFK.
I would put RFK Jr. maybe at the top.
Really?
Yeah. People think he's crazy.
A lot of people are going to be very disappointed if he doesn't get that position, though, because they voted for this.
He'll get the position.
I hope so.
There's no reason for these Republicans to not vote for him, and there are good reasons for the Democrats in the Senate to vote for him.
I would hope so.
He's a Democrat.
Yeah. Like, he is a Democrat.
He's not a Republican.
No. No, he hasn't changed his philosophy about the size of government or anything like that.
The president can excuse him at any time.
Good to know. Because that's what's important.
If he gets out of line,
just toss him.
Pete Hegseth is definitely one of the most controversial. And I mean, good grief. The reason why he's controversial is because he's on Fox News. If he would have served his tours, graduated from Princeton and Harvard, and then gone on to some professorship like Alan Lichtman, I've been a professor for 50 years and I have 31 published books. Pete Hegseth has published books. But if he would have gone on to just do that and not be on Fox News, they'd think he was a great pick because he's come from academia. But that's why he is a good pick, is because he doesn't come from academia. I will admittedly say I am not educated enough, nor do I think I could ever possibly be educated enough. I can ask the right people questions. I can ask the Jim Carafanos of the world that we have on here weekly to weigh in on like a Pete Hegseth nomination. But I don't know if he's qualified to be the Secretary of Defense. How could I possibly tell you right now? I mean, there are things that could surface that might make him unqualified, so to speak, but you know, the actual duty of the job, I'm not fully versed, nor could I really be, because I've never been in the military. I don't know the operation of it. I have the most overboiling respect for the people who are, probably in some cases, maybe even too much. Like, just blind, thank you for your service. I am forever in your debt, period, full stop. But I shared with Brad and Ryan yesterday, somebody on X had done a dive into the police report. There is a sexual misconduct story that exists about Pete Hegseth. Was it 2017, 2019? Mm-hmm.
2017.
And this is swirling around. And I think, wouldn't you say that it's like the thing that would stop him from being confirmed?
It's the thing.
It's the thing.
Yeah.
The credentials are there.
as much as we know that they can be, they're there.
Well, this is Senator Rounds. He's a Democrat. He is a Republican from South Dakota.
The president has the opportunity to make that nomination. He gets the benefit of the doubt. And then I want an opportunity to visit with Pete. I want to visit with him, see what his thoughts are, how he would handle the department. He's going to have to answer those questions with regard to anything that's in his record. And so, yeah, he's going to have to be able to walk on in, sit down, and to visit with people, explain what's going on. And that's the way this process works. We're not going to find people that are going to walk in and nobody's going to ask them questions about their background or anything else that, that may have been questionable. So all of them know when they walk in, their background is going to be scrutinized, and they're going to have to be prepared to answer those questions.
Pete Hegseth, I mean, there was a police report involved in this. He doesn't not know that this took place.
Right.
It's a situation that he has to, in his TV career, let alone his presidential cabinet career, he has to know that this is part of his history. It's going to be it's going to have to be explained. He's going to have to speak to it. CNN shared Pete Hegseth. He was asked about this sexual assault claim against him.
We take absolutely nothing for granted, and we welcome the opportunity to talk to any senator that wants to talk to us.
Did you sexually assault a woman in Monterey, California?
I have, as far as the media is concerned, it's very simple. The matter was fully investigated, and I was completely cleared, and that's where I'm going to leave it. Thank you very much.
So, I mean, I think that's a pretty good way of answering it. I think that I guess I should just retweet the post. I don't want to read the post on the air. It's too graphic. There's too much on air.
It's long.
It's graphic because it's a police report, and it's essentially a he said, she said police report, and it was cleared. The final matter was cleared. But it involves an encounter at a hotel. Pete Hegseth was speaking. This is according to this post that I'm going to share with you on X. He was speaking at some sort of event. This woman was there. They met up. They encountered each other. I don't think they met up necessarily. It sounded like they encountered each other in the bar. They ended up in each other's hotel room, whatever. She claims to like have blacked out and not remember anything. But there's video that suggests that she was not sloshed, right?
Mm-hmm. As I understand it.
And he had been drinking something, whatever. So there were substances involved, but like, was it consensual or was it not consensual? The conclusion was that it was consensual.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan, you made a really good point. Are you comfortable making that point on the air?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's really, really important. It's like the most important point that transcends like whether Pete Hegseth becomes the Secretary of Defense or anything. But you can add more context to the story. But I wanted, since you said that in the chat, I wanted to give you the opportunity to say it here.
Okay. And this is, I'll just read exactly what I said to you guys yesterday when we were talking about this. I said, if people could figure out how to not have sex with other people's spouses, that would be really great.
Yeah.
From really anybody, anywhere, especially people in power. If people could figure out that this is in their own best interests, that alone.
You can make that choice selfishly.
Would be great. Yeah, you don't have to be above board morally to decide this could hurt me later. Just don't do that. And here we are. Unfortunately, we've had to draw the line and say, look, so many people. I mean, this is probably all of Washington. These things come out when you start to scrutinize, but you could probably scrutinize 75% of all politicians and this stuff would come out. So you got to draw a line somewhere and say, well, does this disqualify him? To me, it doesn't, just because of the nature of how often this happens in Washington. So unfortunately, while I would hope that this would change, and I love people like Mike Pence for that reason, not everybody is Mike Pence.
Well, and you know, there's law and there's gospel. There's grace and there's mercy. People make mistakes. I understand that. Mistakes lead you down unfortunate roads that become more complicated because of those mistakes. And this kind of mistake can do that to you. But other kind of mistakes that are completely of a different ilk can do the same thing. But we're so culturally casual about our relationships. And it's frustrating to think, you know, I'm sure he regrets it. I assume he regrets it. But like, you're about to be the Secretary of Defense, potentially. And this was 7 years ago, and here it is again. And I just think it's, you know, it's not the story, but it's not part of the story. And most people are going to cover this, and most people are going to say, you know, it was consensual. What is it anybody else's business? Well, I mean, their particular business, that the first and last names of the people involved, I don't need to know everybody's business about this all the time. But if culturally we had the guts more often to just say, like, support the nuclear family. Give of yourself when you marry somebody for the long haul. Fight the temptations that arise and make the commitment. And if the commitment, if it becomes difficult, then seek the help that you need or whatever. It's, I mean, I this sounds Pollyannish, and I know it sounds a lot easier for me to say it and so on and so forth. But I'm just thinking that while this conversation is going to work its way out, the whole story is going to be about Pete Hegseth as somebody who served his country. And I am not any less grateful for his service to his country. I don't have any less respect for him as a patriot of this country. He's not really doing anything, and this woman were not really doing anything that most people aren't doing. But I just wish, from the culture standpoint, that we would also be offering examples very publicly of positive, strong, committed relationships. I mean, even in the sense of Donald Trump, he's had multiple marriages. He has very positive relationships with all of his wives. He's not squeaky clean here. That's no. A big hang up for a lot of people. People made fun of Mike Pence. You brought up Mike Pence. Mike Pence wouldn't take a meeting with a woman without a man present in the room. And I will tell you, I think that puts a female in his orbit at a disadvantage to not be able to have a private conversation when a man can, just because they're a man. But I understand why he does it. It's such, you know, the sexual nature of humans is such a powerful thing. And it's easy to use it for not good. And we just don't hear enough people who are talking about culturally, like, hey, here's another lifestyle option for you. Monogamy and abstinence until you've gotten into that monogamous marriage.
I agree.
Like, that's a really wild and crazy thing to say these days.
It just needs to be brought up more. And we understand. We're not burying our heads in the sand here and saying, this should never happen. Obviously, it happens. It happens to people in your family. It happens to your neighbors, people in your church. It happens to very powerful people in Washington, D.C.
And you love those people that are in your life personally. You love them. And if that's not your particular sin, you got plenty of them. I have plenty of them.
People fall, people mess up, and people regret those things more often than not. However, it still should be stated, this is a standard that we should seek. If you miss it, you're going to miss it. People are going to miss it. But it's still a good standard to have.
Yeah. You want to pitch the YouTube live chat poll?
Not really, but...
You were making such a good point. This is your poll, you know.
Okay.
Joe DeVito is going to be waiting for us here in a second.
Here we go. To bidet or not to bidet? That is today's question for the YouTube live chat poll.
We have to know.
I asked this question for 2 days.
Yes, you
did.
And
now apparently we are saying everybody weigh in.
Yeah, if everybody says not bidet, then this is it. Elfine.
This is the week.
Yes. Like,
this is our week right here wrapped up in this poll.
Joe DeVito will be with us next. And I'm going to ask him, like, Matt Gaetz, Pete Hegseth, he certainly works with Pete Hegseth, and everybody who works with him sings praises so much about how great of a guy Pete Hegseth is, and I don't doubt that. I think that's not going to have any problem getting through. I think it's just going to be dramatic for the sake of being dramatic. But Joe DeVito will be with us when we come back to talk about all the latest news. Don't go away. Between the drinks and subtle things, the holes in
information. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Tommy couldn't hold me back.
Are they who you talk to us, sir? As a gift to the press, will you please talk to us? Mr. President, President Biden! Please, we haven't heard from you all, press! Mr. President!
Okay.
Man, that she deserves, you know, the extra ice cream scoop at the end of the day for that effort. The press really wants to talk to Joe Biden. I don't know what they expect to get out of him. Maybe the end of democracy or something. I don't know what Joe Biden's going to do when he actually comes and speaks to the press, if he ever does it again. But that woman is doing her job. Our next guest, Joe DeVito, joins us once again, writer, comedian, of course, a regular panelist on Fox News' Gutfeld, on X at Joe DeVito Comedy, and online at joedevito.com. Joe, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Oh, it's good to be back, especially last time we spoke, we were legitimately concerned the cackler might get in there. So it's a whole new beautiful world we're looking at, isn't it?
It that is a really, really good way to put it. I mean, I had my own thoughts about leading up to the election. There's a lot at stake for the country, but of course, selfishly, I'm thinking about how am I going to cover this for the next 4 years if Kamala Harris gets in? How were you preparing yourself for either outcome leading up to the results?
It's mostly stocking up on canned goods, getting the
things.
Toilet paper early. It's funny because to look back now, it seems like, oh, of course that wasn't going to happen. But at the time, it was very nerve-wracking because I really feel like I don't want to sound like the leftist people who freak out, but I really did think like this one could be kind of the end of America if we didn't get this one right. So
I agree.
But I do think it's fun to see that all the lefty people doing the dramatic exits from Twitter, they go over to Blue Sky and they're annoying each other so much they can't handle it. Rob Reiner survived years on Twitter. He lasted 2 weeks on Blue Sky before he had to commit himself. He said he was going to a facility, which, I don't know. Didn't they usually just call those fat farms?
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe that's...
I have no idea, Joe.
I like the clip you played of that reporter screaming.
Have you seen that? The actual video of that? You can't see the reporter, but they're just slow panning him. And you remember when Joe Biden was walking away from the press that one time and he stopped to turn around and he gave us that famous smile and then kept going?
Yeah,
that smile was on his face pretty much the entire time he was shuffling onto the airplane. But that woman wanted to ask him some kind of question. What do you think she wanted to know from him?
Well, I don't know what she was thinking, but his miracle ear hasn't been plugged in for about 2 months now.
You'd think that one would maybe break through, though. Maybe that she knew that and she's like, well, I'm going to get through anyway.
I guess she needed to be pelting him with those tiny batteries to just remind him that she... It's time to upgrade. I like when he wandered off into the brush in the Amazon. I thought that was
who had that on back? Their bingo card.
Oh, I think somewhere there's tribesmen are dipping darts in his blood so they can paralyze monkeys on their next hunt.
Joe, this is Ryan. Between the two Democrat candidates that we've seen this year, which one do you think gave you guys more ample material? Like, did you prefer to write stuff about Joe Biden or Kamala Harris more, or did you care at all?
Oh, I'm going to miss Joe Biden, because there were times where I would be sitting at my desk and realize I've written 10 jokes about the president crapping in his pants. And I would sit there and I would say to Joe Mackey sometimes, what exactly is our job? Has anyone ever had the job? Yes, where you're continually writing jokes about the president soiling himself. And there would be times where I would say, I can't submit 20 jokes about it in the same day. And then, of course, we send them to Greg and he uses all of them.
check. Do you ever have sympathy for either of those candidates? But, you know, you say you're going to miss Joe. There's got to be a little bit of some sort of emotion other than just mockery that you have towards the president of the United States.
Well, you know, there was a little bit when I saw him at that debate that changed everything, where I thought this seems a little cruel. But you have to keep in mind, before he had dementia, he was always kind of a jerk.
Yeah, that's for real.
He was a blowhard, you know, and he so. If anything, it's I am enjoying a little bit that sense of revenge that the Bidens are getting over there. I thought that was pretty funny, especially when Jill Biden was the night of the election strolling around in the Republican red pantsuit. I thought
it's the reddest suit in the history of suits.
Yeah. So do I feel bad for them? No, I can maybe share in a little bit of Kamala's sense of relief, because there were a couple of times you could see you could just see the terror in her eyes. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
Joe, do you think that the Democrats have much of a bench right now? People commenting and saying, well, I don't even know who's next. Like, are you looking down the line going, yeah, I think it's this guy or I think it's this girl?
Oh, there really are just it's a clown car with the clowns just keep pouring out of this tiny little Volvo that they showed up in. That, well, who are you going to be like, yeah, now it's time for Pete Buttigieg to step up.
Right.
Really? The guy who had his bicycle, he rode up on his tricycle after the car dropped him off.
Trunk. Jesse Smollett Smollett or whatever his name is free now. He could maybe run for something, you think?
Why not? I mean, look at Chicago. I thought they couldn't do anything worse than Lori Lightfoot, and then they somehow pulled that off. So why not have Jesse Smollett run? I mean, even if you look at their what they ended up with was it was almost like a Russian nesting doll of how bad a vice president you could have behind you.
Yeah, but because, wait, there's more.
Exactly, because Obama had Biden, who even he knew he was a doofus, and Biden said, oh, you like that? Well, I'm going to put in Kamala. And then she picked Tim Walz. Who would Tim Walz have selected as a vice president? Just, I don't know, an empty soda can, perhaps a rock he found? Like, just how stupid could they get?
The Tim Walz wrinkle in this whole story, it's quickly and easily forgettable, but then when you remember it, it's like you've heard it for the first time all over again. Like, really, why did we go down the Tim Walz avenue? It didn't ever make any sense.
Yeah, you can't have a vice president who has jazz hands.
Is that in the Constitution?
I think it is. I think that's what
it's unconstitutional
right
jazz
top.
Hands.
Yeah, Tim Walz also just, I don't know why, of all the messages the left picked up on, was we're going to show you what a real man is like. And they started talking about, you know, redefining masculinity. And then they bring out Tim Walz, who, you know, he always conducts himself like he's winning some sort of regional theater award where he's clasping his hands and bowing at the waist and blowing kisses. And Doug Emhoff is supposed to be. Doug Emhoff landed more punches than Mike Tyson did, so he's not exactly. These are the guys we're supposed to be emulating. Give me a break.
That's strong. That's strong material.
Joe, speaking with Joe DeVito here, a regular panelist on Fox News' Gutfeld show. Of course, you know him from there. He's a comedian, joedevito.com. Do you feel like manhood and masculinity is back? It's no longer toxic, it's back in vogue. You think that that's something that comes along with these election results?
I think so. I think that's part of the collective just sort of letting our breath go afterward. Because to give you a little behind the scenes, right, the day after the election, we were having a writer's meeting for the show. And we suggested, for whatever the joke was, that famous picture of Rachel Levine and Sam Brinton. And we all looked at each other, and at the same time, we thought, oh, yeah, this is going to stop now.
Yeah.
This kind of nonsense. Or at least, you know, get hotter trans women. I don't know what to say. That, mm-hmm. you know, the kind you can accidentally have sex with twice. You know what I'm saying? Like,
twice. You know. You say you know, like I know, but I do not.
Yeah,
know.
We're all just shaking our heads, like, oh yeah, of course.
Like, he's Joe DeVito. Disagree. Disagree.
We've got to leave room for a misunderstanding later. This is what I'm saying.
Joe, along those lines that you guys were just talking about, in the writer's room and figuring out what you can and can't get away with. I mean, you push boundaries all the time, so I don't know if you've ever actually been afraid of stepping on any toes, but you know, America has been in a place where they're like, ooh, is it okay to say this or that? Do you get the sense that America's kind of shaking that off after this election? Or, you know, are we still kind of in the middle of that?
Well, I do think we have. I think now, well, everybody likes a winner. And Trump especially knows that. So now we're seeing more people because, you know, it was risky, especially if you're a public figure, to come out and say you were supporting him. I know that, you know, in my business, I paid a price for it, you know, and that's professionally in show business and with friends who I've been very, like, I had to stay off Facebook because I won't be kind to the Democrats who are running, but I will say there are friends of mine on the other political side who they really appear to be in a great deal of distress. So I'm not going to dunk on them.
Yeah.
Even though I know they would not extend the same courtesy to me. But as far as jokes go, I think we're seeing that, comedy is supposed to be irreverent and obnoxious. And I don't know. I have a feeling we're going to look back at this time in history the way people look back at maybe the Salem witch trials.
Mm.
Now I get it, where you can say, oh, everybody lost their mind for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's completely true.
Yeah, now we're coming back to, you know, there's too much work to be done and too many things to be corrected, despite Biden trying to sneak in a little World War III on his way out. So thanks a lot for that, Joe.
He doesn't know. It's not him. It's somebody.
Yeah,
but
no,
it's
exactly.
It's
whoever.
Not Joe. Joe DeVito with us right now. You mentioned you have friends who are feeling a sense of a certain kind of distress right now. And what I've been saying on the air, especially immediately after the election, is when you turn on the MSNBCs, the world, and you see these pundits losing their minds, CNN, Scott Jennings, who I love, Bill Maher calls him Lonely Scott. But, you know, some of these people are out of their ever-loving minds, but they've been paid to shill this fear-mongering for so long. I'm encouraging people to point and laugh at those folks. But if you've got, like, real-life people that you're going to see this coming week at Thanksgiving, the distress that they're experiencing right now, there are people who have made a lot of money shoveling them into that position where they are going to be in distress. And as you write for Gutfeld and you're in the media, there are no shortage of Brian Stelter jokes on the Gutfeld show, among many other people who exist on MSNBC and CNN. You've said you've been kind to those people in your life who are experiencing that distress. How do you feel about the fear mongers that are maybe on some of your competitors?
Well, I think, again, we've had a revelation, and a revelation isn't when someone comes to you and they have a mystery box and you open it up and you see, oh, I've never seen this thing. But a revelation is when the scales fall from your eyes or the curtain is pulled back and you realize, ah, now I'm seeing things the way they really are. It's been in front of me this whole time. And I think that now people on the left are seeing what we've been aware of, because we know the legacy media is corrupt. They're saying, like, wait a minute, you said this guy was Hitler, and you're now just saying, well, I hope we have a nice, secure transfer of power. Those are two completely incompatible. I mean, look at Mika and Joe Scarborough going down to kiss Trump's feet. It's
absurd.
That's the worst. I don't know how they can come back after that. That is the worst trip to Florida since Elian Gonzalez, if I can make a 30-year-old reference here. But if you believe them, you can legitimately be saying, hey, what is my interpretation of reality supposed to be now?
Yeah, because it's obvious that they're always trying to sell you something that somehow or another benefits them through power or money, that it always comes down to that. You can't trust it.
Yeah, at this, I almost have more respect for Joy Reid at this point because she's clinically insane.
She's all in.
So at least, yeah, she's keeping it real. You know, I mean, I think she's now so stressed out she's wearing a white toupee just to show that she's lost.
She's taking it pretty hard.
All of Gen Z and Gen Alpha are Googling Elian Gonzalez. Right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. Our YouTube chat says, wow, an Elian Gonzalez reference.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't know that was coming out today.
Yep.
But a good, well-placed one. Joe DeVito, we appreciate you. Thank you for giving us some time on a Friday afternoon and making us laugh. Come back again soon.
Always fun, guys. We'll see you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's great stuff. He's a regular panelist on Fox News. Gutfeld writes for them as well. He's a comedian, and you can check him out online at joedevito.com, spelled exactly the way you would expect it to be spelled, joedevito.com. Be or not to be when we come back?
Ready to go.
All right. Stick around. We will find out if it is satire or not. Sometimes it's hard to tell. We'll decide when Ryan gives us the stories in the Be or Not to Be Wiggins America. Next.
In my room, there's a Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
The Bee or Not the Bee.
All right, this is the Bee or Not the Bee. I got a bunch of headlines here. Some of them are real. Most of them are fake from the Babylon Bee. You got to tell me which is which. First one, Kamala asks Biden to stop doing Trump dance in cabinet meetings. Think about that for a second.
I think she'd be kind of out of place in doing that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Bee?
It's the bee.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the bee. According to administration insiders, Biden had been practicing Trump's trademark fist-pumping shuffle at every opportunity for the last 2 weeks, leading to his vice president's patience wearing thin. Quote, he's been doing it all the time lately, said one staffer who asked to remain unnamed. But after he started doing it for the third time during the same meeting, she was visibly upset. She's been pretty on edge since the election loss, and seeing Biden do the Trump dance.
Everybody's doing it.
Just pushed her over the edge. Everybody is doing it. The dance. All right, next one. RFK Jr. balloons to 350 pounds after single bite of McDonald's.
So, those chemicals, man. I presume it's the bee?
This is the bee. They did doctor a photo. It was like, that's ridiculous. But here's the quote. I'm hideous, RFK Jr. Allegedly cried after he immediately swelled to a horrifyingly unnatural size. He tried to get up and hide himself, but he was trapped in his airplane seat by thick folds of skin. Well, look at me. I'm a monster. What have I done? RFK Jr. has since blamed the presence of polysorbate 80 in the McDonald's quarter pounder for altering his body's DNA.
I believe it. I reiterate that the RFK Jr. wrinkle in this administration is leaps and bounds the most interesting wrinkle.
I agree.
To me. Everything else, it's like, okay, we've been saying for 4 years what needs to be done to fix certain things. That's a whole area where I'm like just sitting with my eyes wide open, watching and listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Next one. Nervous about crypto scandals, Logan Paul sends Logan Paul lookalike to do interviews for him.
Real?
Yeah, I feel like this might be real.
This is real. BBC sent a reporter down to interview Logan Paul on the scandal. Paul and his PR team had agreed to do this and invited the BBC down to his gym in Puerto Rico. So instead of taking an interview and clearing the air on the scandal, Paul attempted to troll the BBC to their face by putting some guy, I watched the video, who doesn't really look that much like Logan Paul in the interview wearing a kind of Logan Paul wig. If you want to know what that sounded like, here's a little clip.
Is Logan coming?
I'm right here, bud.
You came all the way to Puerto Rico from England. This is your interview. What do you got?
Look, these are some very serious questions. You know, there are people who really want to know the answer to these questions.
I'm a serious person.
Let's just get out of here.
Says no serious person ever.
I don't even really know that much about Logan Paul, but I looked at that guy and I'm like, that's not that guy.
I'm a serious person.
It's pretty
don't
funny.
Blaspheme
that
me.
Sounds like something Kamala Harris would say in an interview with Fox.
I got to say, I was looking into the allegations and stuff. They're a little watery. It's is he insider trading kind of stuff on crypto? And so with the BBC looking into it, it's like, is this your top story? I don't know. But okay. They trolled him. Here's the next one. To pay back $20 million in campaign debt, Kamala Harris agrees to fight Jake Paul.
I saw that one.
That's a B.
Yeah, it's a B. I just want to read the quote here. If Mike Tyson can do it at the age of 58, I can do it at 60. Am I right?
Yes.
Besides, age is just a number. Campaign debt is a number. Numbers tell a story.
Oh, man. Listen, do you remember when we were moving the studio? We were sitting in that CamelX studio, and I sat there and I said, hey, guys, if Trump wins, we don't have to hear Kamala Harris anymore. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard her in 2 weeks.
No, we haven't. She's been on vacation.
It's been great.
Yeah. But if she said stuff like this, I wouldn't mind listening a little bit longer.
I would.
She says, campaign debt is a number. Numbers tell a story, but not with words. With numbers.
I have my fill. It's
and the story
take me.
They tell is time. And the story of time is us. And then a cackle.
That could be a direct quote.
I know. That's what's so great about it.
It's cold in here.
Tune into the live chat or the live stream to see that Annie is in a full parka with the hood up. Next one.
Now.
Spirit Airlines announces they will tell you why they went bankrupt for an added fee of $50.
B.
The airline is apparently taking steps to recoup some of its financial losses, such as charging extra for toilet paper in the lavatories, passing an empty hat around the cabin to collect spare change, and of course, offering to divulge their bankruptcy details for only $50.
Just 50 bones.
Quote, we trust that we will soon emerge from this sad time a stronger and more capable airline, said CEO Edward Christie III. Also, here is my Venmo.
Oh, man.
All right, let's see. Sneak one last one in here. Jaguar releases 3-hour commercial that's just a naked guy doing a 1-man performance of Hamilton.
Real.
It's real. Close. That's real. The B. It's
real.
The B.
Real.
You're so close, guys.
Real.
It almost was real, but it's not. The commercial intended as an art piece to spread brand recognition and tear down harmful commercial stereotypes. Took 6 months to film and cost an estimated $100 million. Due to its length, it is exclusively online where it can be seen by people who click through several pages to find a landing page buried deep in Jaguar.com. To date, it has been viewed by
say
three people.
Say Jaguar correctly.
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Jaguar. Is that how you say it if you're a Jag owner?
No, you call it a Jag.
You call it a Jag, yeah.
I wouldn't know. And I don't know that they want those owners anymore.
No, they don't, clearly. I don't know who they're trying to get, though.
One-man Hamilton show. Oh. Stick around. Ask us questions in the YouTube live chat, and we'll answer them at 125. Don't go away.